Hi there, Callum from Scarce Reducing here. Thank you for downloading this episode. I hope you enjoy it, and I hope that you realise we will be spoiling the movie. So if you haven't already seen the movie that you're about to listen to, please make sure that you do, or don't complain to us. But if you could please like, share, subscribe, do all the usual stuff, that would really help us out. And I hope you enjoy the episode. Hello and welcome to another episode of Scared Reducing, the horror movie podcast for horror movie virgins. I'm Callum McNabb.
I'm Gisela Martinez.
And we are here today in an episode that should have been recorded and released for Halloween, which was yesterday at time of recording. However, we were away last weekend. We were a bit lazy over the weekend when we got back. Zella has not been feeling too well the last few days, so it took us a few extra days to even see this film and then to get up the energy to talk about it.
Yeah,
I will try to have this edited and released as quickly as possible, but we do have a concert tonight, we have a concert tomorrow night.
We're so busy.
Quite busy, and all that's to say is, hopefully, just because Halloween season is over, hopefully...
Well, I mean, happy Halloween from yesterday, happy Dia de los Santos today, and happy Dia de los Muertos tomorrow. So probably one of those days, if you're still celebrating, yay!
Exactly, but if you are not still celebrating, hopefully you're not done with horror movies for the year. Hopefully you're not just someone who checks in for the spooky season and then checks out and immediately...
Or at least watch Coco.
Onto Christmas movies, because we've still got a wee bit to go yet, although Gisela wants to start singing Christmas songs, but I think a bit early. But
I read an article
that says it's okay.
No, that people that start decorating early for Christmas
are less stressed.
Yes, and obviously happier.
Right. I'm so, not surprised.
So I'm just gonna start putting Christmas stuff.
There's a difference between being early and being, you know, 2 months. Well, a month
is... Yeah, you're doing more of that. So that's good. I love it.
Anyway, before we very quickly move on to the movie that we're going to be talking about today, I just wanted to say, hopefully next year, and hopefully many of you agree, can we stop, please, Twitter and internet, can we stop with the overrated discussions? Can we just, when it's Halloween season especially, can we just celebrate horror films and talk about our favourite horror films and maybe argue about them or whatever? That's fine. But every Halloween I see it, there's a one viral tweet and there's one big Reddit thread about what is the most overrated horror. And this year, more than any, it's just annoyed me. Because overrated essentially means I think everybody's wrong about this, but you're not telling us why. So, for example, on Reddit, I saw someone called The Exorcist a run-of-the-mill possession movie. Mm-hmm. On Twitter, I saw thousands of posts about how Halloween 1978, the original, is overrated. And I'm reading both of those and I'm like, it's fine to think that neither of those films are that good. And I would like to hear your reasons why. I disagree, but I would like to hear why. But to say it's overrated, I don't understand how... As a society, you're supposed to rate, not just horror films, mm-hmm. films in general, which are still discussed over 50 years later for the impact they had on the medium, for the awards that they were nominated for, and in The Exorcist case, even Academy Awards, what was it, like 10 nominations and 2 wins or something, and spawning long-running franchises that are still going to date, and in The Exorcist case, will come back in a few years. Over half a century, like, how are we supposed to rate these things? If you take both of those films away, not just horror, but cinema doesn't exist in the same way. It's a different landscape. So my example I thought of last night was for found footage movies, I think Wreck is a better movie than Paranormal Activity, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if I have to take one of them away and delete it from existence and try to keep society and culture as close to reality,
yes, I totally
you would get rid of Wreck.
Yes, I will get it. Yeah.
So that doesn't mean I think it's overrated, but I don't know when people say things like I don't agree with the idea that Paranormal Activity is overrated. It's a fine, decent movie, but it did have an impact on cinema as a whole for, you know, maybe just under a decade. And the franchise is, as far as I'm aware, still going. They released one last year. So I just want to know, to people who use the term overrated, and I might have used it before, I try to avoid it, but I might have used it, and I might have slipped up, we all make mistakes. But to the people who use it in just general conversation, I want to know, what do you mean by it? And what do you mean when you say something like Halloween or The Exorcist is overrated? How are we supposed to rate that film? Because I don't get it. That is the end of my rant that begins the episode, because I think it's spooky season, or it's now spooky season is over, but it's cold, dark winter nights. These are the films that we love to talk about and we love to watch in cosy houses with family members and get things go bump in the night and stuff. So when you've got two perfect examples, I get the urge to say, actually, guys, you're wrong. Here's a better one. Well, how are we supposed to rate it? That's all I want to know. There's my question. Please tweet your answers to me. Send them in DMs.
Okay.
But anyway, we're not here to rant and rave. We are here to, as always, talk about a movie, suggest where to go next, and Zell's just shown me a cute photo of a dog dressed up in a Halloween costume. Is that a wee sailor? Is that Dexter?
Dexter.
Oh, it's the wee dog back home in Mexico.
Yes.
So yes, so the movie we will be talking about today is Barbarian.
Oh, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah?
This is 476 Barbary, right?
Yeah, I'm renting this place.
No, I booked it a month ago.
Are you sure you have the right place?
Yeah, what am I supposed to do?
Why don't you come inside and we'll call these idiots. Why don't you just crash here?
Oh, no.
I don't know if you got a great look at this neighborhood, but I don't think you should be out there by yourself. It's dry and there's a lock on the door.
By the way, I'm Keith.
Tess.
You take the bedroom and I'll sleep out here on the couch.
First of all, this came out in the States in like end of August, beginning of September, so it's almost like 2 months before we get to see it here in the UK. It is also now streaming in the US on HBO Max, which doesn't exist in the UK unless you have a VPN, wink wink. But all that to say is, people here in the UK, if they've got VPNs, are more than capable of just watching this at home.
Yes.
And I don't get why that's the case. It's the same with Pearl.
Oh my god.
Which is on VOD in the States. Now, I haven't figured out which streaming service it's on yet because I haven't Googled it, but it doesn't have a release date here for the UK. So all you're doing is asking, in my opinion, people to pirate it and to use VPNs to watch it. Hellraiser just came out on Prime Video.
Oh, really?
Like, as far as I'm aware, Paramount Pictures didn't even tweet about it. I saw someone last night saying, by the way, it's on Prime Video in the UK. And then they were like, by the way, I think Paramount should have tweeted about it. Like, what's going on with marketing these low-budget sort of horror films or mid-budget horror films? Like, if you're not going to release them in the UK, at least tell us. Are you looking into getting a distribution deal? If not, when can we expect to hear more news? Like, you know, just a little bit of update. That's all I want. But anyway, Barbarian, we did get 2 months late. I watched it in the cinema.
I watched it at home.
You watched it at home via HBO Max.
And it's because I was sick.
Yeah.
So I decided just to stay and come. I was like, you go, live the experience. And I mean, that's fine because then we have the two experiences at how you watch it at home, how you watch it at cinema. So
correct.
So yeah.
So have you even bothered to think about where you would go next? What would be your recommendation to someone who says, hey, not big into horror films, I hear you like them, Gisella. I just watched Barbarian. That was pretty weird. I kind of want something to follow up with that. What am I going to watch?
Ooh. Oh, God.
I talk about this every episode.
Oh,
every single episode.
Oh, no. I'm sorry.
Always forgets to think of something.
Yes. Why you don't ask me for? I probably mentioned this before, but I will be recommending Cabin in the Woods.
Cabin in the Woods is on my list. Oh. But I feel like you've recommended that. I feel like that's
I recommend that with the the creepy creatures.
Hellraiser.
Yes. Because of the monsters.
Yeah.
Yes, and then you pick and then you can see what they would take you. But this one, because, I mean, we're talking houses, like ghoul houses that they're not yours,
mm-hmm.
or you rent, or like in the middle of nowhere and things happen. So it's that kind of mood.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, when I finished watching this movie, I saw a couple of TikToks mm-hmm. that I bumped into, and you know, all these horror stories, Airbnbs kind of stuff. Like people go and they have cameras hiding in places, and it's like, oh, I went to this Airbnb and I discovered they have a door that it was locked, but in the middle of the night, they open and start walking around. Or people that travel alone put cameras in their Airbnbs and discover that the owner was coming when she wasn't, or they weren't, and stealing things, cameras hiding in little parts of the house. So I thought, oh my God, like this is, that's actually one of my nightmares, spooky, like terror stories. So I will definitely recommend something that just go to a house that is not yours movie.
Mm-hmm.
But is there something like that? Like I know there's a movie about I think it's called Vacancy.
Yeah. With Owen Luke Wilson.
It's in a hotel and they get like trapped. I think I watched it long time ago. And they get trapped in the hotel. And they get tortured or something. I know there's another one called Peep something. They get in a hotel and they're being watched because there's cameras all around.
Right. I haven't seen that either.
I don't know the name. I think it's no Peep Show, but it's called Peep something. So I will go to that kind of line, like go to those movies that
about people voyeurs watching.
Yes, or like that. Yeah.
Interesting.
I don't know why. I do know why, because of all those TikToks horror stories about
Airbnb. Oh, what are the TikToks horror stories got? Oh, because of Airbnbs.
Yes.
Right, I see.
If you are using Airbnb, that's like fine. I've done it before, but I feel like I'm not gonna use it anymore. Not because of TikTok, not because of the movie, but I prefer an hotel where I know that if something's wrong, I can change like this.
Yeah.
Like if I don't like it, I can go and complain. I'm like, give me my money back. There's an hotel, it's an establishment that is there. There's rules, there's everything. And at least I know they're changing some kind of things from the place, like cheats, stuff, blah, 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 blah. And that's it. No right. responsibility after
but
I leave.
Isn't that the whole process of Airbnb, is that it's faster
feels
and cheaper?
Feels like home.
Feels like home.
It's not cheap anymore. Like,
well, I know.
Or cheaper than an hotel sometimes. At least I feel more secure in an hotel, you know? There's
but
more
it was
people
to try
around
and make
me.
It feel the staying away feel less like a hotel experience. I guess that's the idea.
Oh, but I love the hotel.
Yeah,
experience.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, there are perks to an Airbnb that a hotel can't.
No,
match.
I totally agree. I've done that. I've done rent an Airbnb before, but it's been a couple of years that I don't feel comfortable with it.
And this movie is not going to help that.
Exactly.
So my recommendations, very quickly, if I'm recommending a horror newbie somewhere to go, there's actually a few different avenues. I always have try and put together a few different avenues. The first avenue is, if you've seen Barbarian, you will understand quite clearly why. Bizarre left turns. So just a movie that starts, you think you know where it's going, and then whoop, we just move over somewhere else. So that would be Psycho. Classic example of that happening. The Descent. Very good example of that. Izella's never seen The Descent, but you did jump when we saw the clip on the 101 Scariest Movie Moments on Shudder, and they showed The Descent. You did jump in the middle of the day when they showed the turn of that movie. Of course, and basement horror and left turns. It's not really a horror film, but you've got to have Parasite. You've got to watch Barbarian and then watch Parasite, because it has the exact same, they go down into the basement and the movie just completely flips.
Well,
it's not a horror, but it's like, of course, you got to watch Parasite after watching this.
If, and I'm so stupid, you know what you need to watch after this?
What?
Psycho.
I said Psycho like 2 minutes ago.
I'm not listening. I was Googling the name of the movie that I was trying to tell you. Yes, Vacancy is one of them.
Yeah.
I couldn't find the other one, but then I bump into Psycho, and I'm like, yeah, Psycho. And then I'm like, oh, I just saw it. I just read that. And I was like, sorry.
So you could also look for pretty, what I'm calling, not just horror comedies, but pretty wild bonanza horror comedies. So they would be things like One Cut of the Dead. People don't talk about One Cut of the Dead enough, and they should, because it's great. You've got Cabin in the Woods, as Izella already mentioned. Malignant from last year. My favourite film of last year. Fucking excellent. That just...
But why Malignant?
Because it just goes... you think you're going down one avenue, and then something completely wild happens, and the movie just ramps up to another fucking level. It's a completely different movie for the last third of that than what you've been watching, and also it's really fun and hilarious to watch, which is what Barbarian is. Like, it's just wild, funny, violent. That is what Malignant is. A few others, of course, you could do basement horror. As I said, this movie has a big basement theme, big basement twisting it. So you've got Silence of the Lambs. Not that fun, or it's pretty depressing, but it is basements. There is a big basement setting in it.
I have one that I just looked there because okay. I was...
It might be next on my list. Go on.
The Shining?
No, why?
Because you're going to a big hotel that you're just taking care of. You don't know what's going on
this movie
there.
Isn't set in a hotel, though. It's an Airbnb.
No, but still, we're in the same... Like, it's not your house. You're just taking care of it, or you're just there.
Okay.
And then things happen.
Not on my list, but fine. Don't Breathe, basement horror, and also has a pretty wild left turn, and also is directed by Fede Alvarez, who directed the remake of Evil Dead, which was the directorial debut of Sam Raimi.
Oh my god,
who
Cal.
Basically made his career by making pretty fucking bonanza horror comedies, which is the second category I gave you, so you could have Sam Raimi's career in there. So it all ties back up in itself. It's all circular. It all comes together nicely. God. And then finally, trust your gut. Always trust your gut. Those sort of horror movies. So you've got Speak No Evil, which is on Shudder right now. I watched it the night before I watched Barbarian, and I think it makes an excellent double pairing, because both films are about people who know they shouldn't venture further down certain paths or go back or whatever, and yet they do it anyway because they think they might be overreacting, and all hell breaks loose. You could have Rosemary's Baby in there.
You can have Vacancy 2, the first cut.
but my choice, if I was to pick one film after all this, would be From Dusk Till Dawn. It's a pretty wild horror comedy.
Is that all the Walrus?
And, no, that's Tusk.
Oh.
And I've never seen Tusk, so I wouldn't pick it because I haven't seen it. And it just stars Justin Long.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of.
But it's a bonanza fucking wild, violent horror comedy, like Barbarian, and it has a pretty wild left turn, which if you haven't seen From Dusk Till Dawn, you need to watch it because it just goes mental in the second half. So, that's my pick. Izella's pick is... I'm going to say Vacancy. Is that what it's called?
Yes.
It's called Vacancy. I haven't seen it. So take that as you will. Those are our recommendations. Those are our reasons why. Hopefully you've seen some. Hopefully you haven't. If you have, I don't know, let us know. Because we don't just want to hear angry people saying that my overrated rant was wrong. I want to hear from nice people as well. But
I'm a nice people.
We are here to actually get into the movie itself, Barbarian.
Yes.
So, Izella, do you want to kick us off with how you watched it at home, what your thoughts were? Yes. What did you know about the movie going in?
So, we watched the trailer together. Yep. It was, I mean, if you haven't seen the trailer or anything, it's just a woman going to a rental place and finding out that someone is there at the same time, something, well, there was a mistake with the booking, and both are staying there for at least for the night.
In a pretty dodgy neighborhood.
Yes. And the trailer just cuts to screaming something and boom, that's it. That's all you get from this. So I thought, oh, it's going to be so gory. It's going to be torture and all that stuff. Okay, fair enough. I'll watch it. I stay home. I play it on. Put the movie in the first 20 minutes. The first 5 minutes is a trailer. Like the girl arriving at the place, meeting this person is a guy played by, is his name, I want to say, is Alex?
No.
Axel?
No.
Is that with A?
No.
Oh,
do you mean the character or the actor?
The actor.
No, it doesn't sound
I right. always mix it with the Skarsgård's family thing.
Skarsgård.
Yeah, that one. Who is he?
Bill Skarsgård.
Bill. Anyway, so
me. You're thinking of Alexander Skarsgård,
yes,
who was in The Northman.
Yes.
No, this is Bill, who was in It.
Yes, this is like Pennywise. So meet him, and it's slow from here because it's a lot of talking. It's a lot of she uncomfortable with him. I don't know him, and I'm gonna start taking photos of his stuff just in case something happened to me. I'm not drinking the tea he's making for me. Blah blah blah, yeah, kind of stuff.
See him make it. Blah,
so.
Blah, blah.
It's kind of, so then they kind of like bone with something like, oh, I'm here in town. I rent this place because I'm going for this project. And the other one, oh, this project, I know about it. How? Because I'm involved in that, and start like having a connection, start drinking wine. And it's, that's it. Like nothing major happened here.
No.
So I was at home watching this, and I was like, I'm taking my phone a little bit. The movie's playing. Din. I'm just looking through my phone, and then boom, something happened. I'm like, oh, what happened? Oh, sorry, what happened? Put the phone away. I felt like someone said, hey, pay attention. And I was like, oh, sorry. By the way, the blinds were down, everything was off because I was watching,
trying to make it as dark as possible.
2:30, yeah,
middle of the day,
I think it was. So I was like, oh, pay attention. Someone opens the woman's door. She was staying in the bedroom, and the other guy was staying on the sofa. So it's like, what's going on? She kind of looks outside and can see that the guy is sleeping.
So but let's, having nightmares. Let's get their names before we keep calling the girl and the guy. So the girl, Tess Marshall.
I mean, like, people cannot get confused because so far there's only two people in this
movie.
Yeah,
but it's going to get more. She's played by Georgina Campbell, and Keith, played by Bill Skarsgård. So Tess and Keith. So Tess wakes up.
Tess.
Her door is open.
And Keith.
And Keith is on the sofa.
Kind of like nightmares and like screaming and like when you're like, but really loud.
Yeah.
So she goes and check on him like, hey, are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay? And in the background, you can see...
Something moves.
I couldn't see what moves.
No, you don't. It's out of focus.
Oh, okay. But it's like...
She doesn't notice it.
Yeah, nobody knows it.
Nobody
knows
it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, you scare me. Why are you here? Keith said to Tess. It's like, no, you were like, leave it. I'm going back to my bedroom. She, did you open my door? And Keith like, what? Are you crazy? No. Okay, that's fine. She goes to her bedroom, locks the door, and that's it. Then sunshine, and she goes to her interview for this...
Documentary
research. Yeah, something like that. And by the time she wakes up, Keith is away doing stuff.
He says he had stuff to do.
Yeah, he leaves a note. And then we have the interview, and then we have her coming back. But she mentions to the person that she was meeting in the interview, like, oh, I'm staying there. I was like, you shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, it's fine. I have a roommate. No, you sh-. And she keeps interrupting her. So she's like, okay, I'm tough. Don't worry. I'm tough. I'm fine. And again, at this point, I was like, I'm going to take my phone a little bit. Mm-hmm. And blah, blah, blah.
Didn't learn your lesson.
Yeah. So took my phone. She's there. Oh, the guy's not. But I'm watching. But just like scrolling, watching the movie. And then it's like, oh, she needs toilet paper. By the time she gets home, there's no toilet paper. She needs to go to the basement. She found something on the wall. It's like a rope. And she start pulling and opens a door. Love this part. She's like, nope, I'm not going in there. I don't know what is there. She takes a mirror to reflect some light to kind of see. She's not going inside, but she's kind of, I'm kind of curious. She ended up going inside.
Because she's locked in the basement.
Yes. She ended up going inside and finds this room where there's like a horrible mattress all covering whatever liquid it is. Quite dry, but it's gross. And a camera. She freaks out. She sees like Kit is back. Help her to go out from the basement. Yeah. And it's like, I'm gone. I don't want to be here. Like, it just freak out. And Kit is like, just calm down. Like, let me go and check. Don't go. Just let me check because what you're saying is just nonsense. Let me go and check. He goes check. He doesn't come back.
Yeah.
And she's like, why? Why? What's happening? And she goes there. She can barely hear him screaming like, help, help. At this point, I was like, oh, okay, phone is away.
Yeah.
Something's happening here. Like, it's okay. And she finds out, like, there's more, like, holes on this kind of, like...
The basement goes a lot further than initially she thought. Yes,
exactly.
There's an extra door and then the stairs down.
So he's trapped subterranean. In this... one of these.
Essentially, it looks like parts. A coal mine. Essentially, so deep underground.
So he is there.
Yeah.
But he's terrified. He's like, "Don't scream!" She's crying, obviously. Like, "Don't scream! Calm down!" Like, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, "What?" And then like, you see this horrible thing coming behind her.
No, it's behind him.
No, it's behind her.
No, it's behind him.
Oh, okay. No, really?
Yes, because it attacks him. Doesn't even look...
Okay, well, this thing's come and it's like... And then takes his head and starts smashing it against the walls.
Yeah.
And then it's running from her. She's screaming and goes to black. That moment, I text you. You were still on your way.
I was in the cinema, so I had my phone off.
No, but I think by that time, it was 40 minutes. All this is 40 minutes.
I didn't get your text till I came out of the cinema. I didn't see them till I came out of the cinema.
Well, by the time, because I think you turned off, because when I text you, it was 2:20. Your movie was set to start at
2:10.
Okay. So you stood in trailers.
No. 40 minutes. It's like 25 minutes of trailers.
No, 2:20. I text you at 2:20.
Right, okay. We're getting hung up on too many
details. Anyway, I'm just saying, at that time I said, oh my fucking God, what's going on? Because then it's all bright again.
Yeah.
It's just like a total different movie.
So yeah, cuts to some creature which looks like the Madeiros girl out of Wreck.
What I describe, what I talk for like 10 minutes now, that's basically, I will say, kind of the trailer. From now on, we don't have anything, I think.
It's the trailer, but the trailer doesn't show you the monster.
It's like the trailer, like the idea of the movie. And then it's just like, whoop! Like,
we just cut to... Yes. It's like Los Angeles, California, and someone played by Justin Long is driving a car down a pretty scenic beach coastal road, singing along, he's happy, and then he gets a phone call, and he is informed that we learn that he's an actor, he's going to star in an upcoming sitcom or TV show, but he's probably going to get fired off the show because another cast member or another co-worker has accused him of sexual assault. And he denies it, but they say, look, don't contact her. It's probably best if you get your things in order. We'll speak to the lawyers, etc., etc. So it turns out that he, because he's lost this job, or it looks like he's going to lose this job, he's not got much sources of income. and he is advised to sell some of his properties, one of which is the house in Detroit that we've just spent the first chunk of the movie at with Tess and Keith. And so he flies to Detroit, goes to the house, and as far as I'm aware, is planning on selling it. Now, he doesn't know there's people staying there. And when he phones the rental company, the Airbnb, is there any person staying here? And they say, no. And he's like, well, there's stuff here. And they say, no, there's nobody there, blah, blah, blah. So it seems to be some sort of error of judgment from someone on the rental side. Regardless, he definitely can find belongings of two people that are there. Mm-hmm. But we don't know how long it's been. So maybe Airbnb thinks that these people have checked out. We don't know. Has it been a week? Has it been a month? We have no idea. It's just cut to this scene.
Yeah.
Now, he finds the basement door open
because
obviously Tess and Keith, as far as we're led to believe, have not come back up from the basement from their experience.
Yeah.
So the basement door is still open. So he follows it down and he realizes, holy fuck, this thing is huge. And immediately we cut upstairs to him Googling, can you include basement space in the square footage of a property to try and obviously put it on the market. And he finds out that you can't, but you can make note of it. You can't include it in the normal square footage, but you can make note of extra space that you may have.
Mm-hmm.
And so we get a montage of him measuring the basement that, as I said, it goes subterranean. Like, it's so big and it keeps going. It's fucking hilarious because we know there's a monster down there.
Yeah.
And he is completely unaware, doesn't care.
He goes into the room with the mattress and the camera.
Doesn't matter.
And he's like, just measuring. He's just measuring, kind of sit on the bed, and he's like, oh, gross, and keeps going. It's so funny.
This is essentially the thesis, or not so much thesis, but the idea the movie is painting is the difference between attitudes in men and women when it comes to trusting your gut or gut instinct for red flags.
Yeah, so totally.
I read an interview that Zach Krager, the director and writer, was inspired by a non-fiction book from the 90s about how to defend yourself in certain situations, self-defense, etc. And apparently this book is a bestseller, not just for women, but mainly aimed at women. And how to identify red flags in people and defend yourself against them or avoid them. And he wanted to write a movie that had as many of these red flags as possible. So a woman late at night in a dodgy neighborhood going to a house where there's a man already there.
Mm-hmm.
The man making her a drink, but she can't see him make the drink. So did he drug it? Blah, 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 etc. He wanted to write that opening couple of pages. And then he thought, I think a lot of people know where this movie goes.
Yeah.
It becomes a cautionary tale about you shouldn't trust someone you don't know or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So he decided, that's too obvious, I want to flip this on its head, and he completely writes a different scene altogether that involves a basement monster, and then just throws the two together. So, this is what I said earlier on in the year in our men episode, I think we're coming to the end of metaphor-based horror, we're coming to the end of horror movies as essays to be studied and to be figured out as to what is it telling us. This movie has the basis, the outline of a story about sexual violence and the violence that men do, not just to women, but mainly to women, and how men and women are prepared for or don't even bother to see the signs and how that is different. But it's very faintly drawn.
Okay.
And it's sort of drawn squiggly because in the end, the movie is like, you get it. You know these things. Women are maybe more scared of dark alleyways at night than a normal man would be, just based on statistics around the world.
Mm-hmm.
But you know all that. I don't need to rub your face in it. I've set it up. Now I'm going to smash some faces in. Now I'm going to make a gross horror movie. And that's what I think we're getting to with horror, which is we're going to tease that. You figured it out. You've made the metaphor check. Well done, you. Now you're going to see bodies explode.
But see, all this that you just explained.
Yeah.
That's the full reason why I believe if we have a zombie apocalypse, I will survive a new one.
Okay. We don't even have time to get into that.
But, I'm just putting it there. I feel like I was...
I'm faster than you though, so...
Yeah, but you're like, you're just gonna run like a headless chicken just around. I will be just like, okay, I'll run here first and then here and hang here for like a couple of hours and then keep running. You're like, so,
Justin Long, yes. Jesus Christ, you're usually the one talking me back, but oh my God.
Hey, Ella. I just woke up, so.
Justin Long ends up in the basement, ends up chased by the monster, ends up in a prison under the floor in like a cage alongside Tess.
Uh-huh.
So presumably Keith has been killed. We saw his head get smashed against the wall.
Oh, presumably. He's dead.
Yeah, he's dead. And so basically, Justin Long's character, I can't remember his name, he is like, you know, what are you doing here and what's going on? What the fuck? Mm-hmm. And she says, don't annoy it.
Yeah.
Whatever that thing is, don't annoy it. Like, just do what it wants you to do and it'll be safe and it'll be...
Mm-hmm.
And immediately we get a scene that is pretty gross and Izella tells me she couldn't watch.
I couldn't.
So
hold on. How was the cinema with this?
People were laughing, giggling.
Hold on. Was the cinema full?
It wasn't packed, but yeah, it was mainly full, yeah.
Okay. For like a screening at
2 p.m. on a Sunday.
That's good. I think that's good.
The mother...
And hold on, I Google like this scene. Apparently the actress,
mm-hmm.
The girl, Gabriella, or I don't know what's her name, you said, Tess,
mm-hmm.
She said, that's the grossest scene.
Georgina is her name.
Oh, that's the grossest scene that she had to film for this.
Not surprised.
She says, like, first... It was hard because they would laugh at seeing the massive...
So we need to tell them what happened.
Okay.
The mother, the monster, the beast, it's referred to as the mother, it comes above the cage and it has a bottle of milk with some sort of pacifier-like thing on top of it.
A really old-fashioned
one. Asks, and it wants them to drink the milk.
Because they are the babies.
They're the babies. It's mothering them. Now, Georgina does drink it.
Oh.
Now, you told me you couldn't watch this.
Izella
hates milk. Not even just breast milk. She just hates milk.
Yeah, now I'm eating breast milk. Yeah, breast milk
from a monster.
Or I don't... And then, seriously, the picture... If you just Google for a picture of this thing. It's a bottle, massive, with this pacifier. I'm gagging.
I don't even know what it's called. Yeah, you're gagging right now. Yeah.
Oh, no, I can't.
You look like you're about to be sick. Anyway, Justin Long's character, AJ... does not drink from the bottle, which annoys the mother. And she takes him out. She pulls him out of the cage.
Oh, thank God you
escaped. Now that gives Tess the moment to escape. Because she's the mother, creature, monster thing, is dealing with this naughty boy, AJ,
mm-hmm.
dealing with him. And she's left the cage open. So Tess is finally able to climb out. She runs out of the basement. And she gets out into the open world. She meets a man... it looks like a homeless man, but he is like nice to her. He says, like, come on, I know what that thing is. You're lucky. She says to him, look, we need to go back in. There's somebody else down there. And he says, no, you're lucky you got out. You can't go back. And she's like, no. And this is the idea, as I say, men, women. We will find out later on in the movie that AJ doesn't quite have the same sympathy for Tess as Tess does for him. We'll find that out later on. So essentially what the story is, as I say, it's this sort of weird haunted house, carnival of madness in a basement, and how
mm-hmm.
it's just flipped on its head. And the man, Tess goes back to get AJ. She mm-hmm. goes back to help him. And in the meantime, because the mother's been up here, and as I say, we've just completely skipped over a really gross breastfeeding sequence. We've just moved past it. As the mother is coming up to try and chase Tess, AJ has got free rein to wander around the basement.
Yes.
And he comes across a room that has a man in it. Now, he believes this man to be a further victim of the mother.
Mm-hmm. He's like, we're going to save you, man. Don't worry. Like, we'll be fine. I'm calling the police.
Again, we cut to the past. The Reagan era of the States. What's that, like 80s? And it's like all picket fences and it looks like a nice neighborhood. But one neighbor says like, we're leaving, this neighborhood's going to hell. But we are following a man, mm-hmm. single man. And we learn that he is some sort of serial killer.
Yes.
And kidnap our woman. Now, when we cut back to the basement that AJ is in, mm-hmm. we learn that that's the same man. The same man. He's old. So he's not quite an innocent victim.
Oh no, he has a lot of videos with labels. Just like redhead girl from Irish gas accent. Station.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Irish accent, yes.
And it turns out he's been kidnapping, raping and murdering women. And then with the offspring, he's been raping the offspring
mm-hmm.
and producing copies of copies, incestuous on incestuous.
Oh, God. Until we end up with
this monster that's there. So it's very, oh my God, Joseph Fritzl. It's very Joseph Fritzl, if you remember that case from like the sort of late 2000s. So that's what the mother is.
Mm-hmm.
The mother is his daughter upon daughter upon daughter of sexual assaults. So as I say, and AJ says to him, like, when he watches the video, we don't see it, but AJ notices that's you. And he's like, what mm-hmm. the fuck have you done? Like, he realizes he is the creator of all this violence upon violence that AJ is now suffering. But again, the movie's drawing faint lines between AJ is also accused of sexual assault, and we will learn later in the film, guilty of, he admits it, and this man, but AJ doesn't see the own error of his ways until it's too late, essentially. And also doesn't really overcome them anyway. So
he's a piece of shit.
He's a piece of shit. It's fucking brilliant. Justin Long's amazing in this movie. But it's drawing faint lines. Like, okay, yes, the scales are completely imbalanced.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still a sexual assault. And Justin Long is, like, looking at this guy as if he's the most evil creature ever. And Justin Long, in his head, is an innocent victim.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm saying. This movie could quite easily be an essay piece. Could be quote elevated horror, which it could be, but instead it goes the grimy route, which is we're going to poke eyes out, bash heads, breastfeed people.
Oh,
it's just gross. It's so good. Anyway, they both escape.
Yes, they both escape.
Although Justin Long, AJ, accidentally shoots
her
Tess in the meantime. He's a fucking idiot, that's why. And he's not the villain of the piece, the mother is, or whatever, but it's still funny to consider it. Like, he is still a bad guy in this story.
I know.
He just won't accept it, and he's a fucking idiot. And I love Justin Long in this movie. I think he's excellent. I also think Georgina Campbell. She's amazing in this movie
as well. Oh, she's so good. Yeah.
Anyway, they get out. They go to live with the homeless man in like a water tower.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he says, she never comes in here. The creature, she comes out at night, but she never comes in here.
Is there.
Before she does that, though, Justin Long, AJ, admits to what he's done.
Mm-hmm.
He admits his faults, like, and he sort of confesses his sins of, like, what he did was wrong and blah, blah, blah. And it's sort of, in a roundabout way, we're getting to the idea that, yes, you admit you did do this sexual assault you're accused of. Now it's time for you to own up to that and accept your punishment and then be better going forward. That's the narrative play that he's making mm-hmm. to these people. The monster comes in, obviously. Kills the homeless man.
Yeah, and chase him to this water tower. And they're there, like, trying to go all the way up.
They do go all the way up.
But Tess is, like, has been bleeding and she's been really slow. And it's like, wait for me. He's like, no waiting for you. Like, he just, like, goes all the way up.
Hilarious.
And I was like, oh, you piece of shit.
Yeah.
She finally gets there. And then he's like, there's no way, like, out from here. We're gonna die. So the monster.
You're forgetting one thing.
What?
He has a gun on him.
Oh yeah, that's true.
So she's like, shoot the monster. You don't remember this?
No.
He drops the gun.
Oh.
He's such a fucking idiot.
Oh yeah, that's
true. He leans over the edge to shoot the monster as it comes up the stairs, and he drops the gun over the edge.
But then I thought, I probably will do the same if I will be in that situation.
Yeah, you would drop it.
All shaking, like, fair enough.
Anyway, the monster comes up. And he realizes there's no way for us to both get out of this. And he says, but I can get out of it. You can slow her down. And he throws Tess off the water tower.
I know. And it's like, and says to the mother, go and get your baby.
And the mother jumps after her.
Yeah.
So both of them jump off the water tower. And then he leans over the edge and he sees what appear to be two bodies mm-hmm. on the ground. And yeah, that's amazing. That's an amazing moment, because it's like 2 minutes ago you were just confessing your sins and saying your treatment of women was wrong, and then the minute that you think you can get out by killing an innocent woman, you will do it.
Yep.
Brilliant, brilliant moment.
I
fucking
know.
Hilarious. Fucking dark.
Fucking piece of
fucking
shit.
Fucking gross. Brilliant. Anyway, he goes down the water tower. Turns out neither of them have died.
We think the mother is dead, because there's a lot of blood, but it kind of protects Tess.
Yeah, it sort of managed to catch her in free fall and protect her from the fall.
Tess is still alive, and he realizes, like, oh my god, and then he starts like, I mean, you know how the situation was, like,
yeah,
I thought that was the best thing, but I'm glad that you're alive, and I'm like, oh, fuck off, like, fuck off, you're a horrible person.
The mother has also survived.
Yes.
And it stands up and grabs his head and pokes his eyes out.
Oh my god.
And there's like goop coming. That's what I mean. The movie is like goopy and gross and exploding. It could be, you know, the Babadook, or it could be Men, or it could, I like some of those films, but it could be.
To be more,
but instead it's like, I'm going to have bodily fluids flying at you. And it's got brains and skulls and
eyes. The eyes was so gross. It was like it was a beige color.
It's awful.
Oh, gross.
Kills Justin Long and then turns its attention to Tess, who finds the gun, kills the mother.
Yes.
And she walks away. Not unharmed, but alive.
Yes.
And boom, we end Barbarian. And that is a movie that started as a sort of intellectual drama horror about women being scared of men or recognizing the dangers in strange men alone at night, and ends up with a monster blowing the eyes out of Justin Long.
Yeah.
This movie is excellent. It's my second favourite movie of the year.
It was so good. And then for some moment I thought, why didn't go to the cinema to watch this? Why? Yes. And then when obviously the bottle with the milk happened, thank God, because I will embarrass you in the cinema.
Yeah, you would have been making noises. You probably would have walked out.
Yes, I would have walked out and like, oh, and calm and whatever. Here, I just like left the room and went to the toilet because I thought I'm going to be sick. Good thing that I only had a soup in my stomach. So, and then I come back and can hear Tess, the character, saying, drink it. And then I look, and the bottle looked like it was drink by her. And I was like, oh no, I'm feeling gross again. Apart from that, the movie is good fun.
Very good
in
fun.
A sense that
it's going
it
to
change
become
a lot. And then it has that thing to me that, you know, like, oh, I like when the movies are horror movies, but in bright places, in places that you normally feel secure. In this one, when it starts like, the apartment looks really nice. It looks modern. It's not a old house.
Yeah.
Like typical, everything happens in an old house from a long time ago. And this one's like a really modern place, Airbnb. It gets to the daylight when she goes to an interview and comes back. Everything is fine. And
but
then
it does
like,
have its dark moments. We've got basement scenes.
No, and then it gets the but it has those moments that I like, that is like, oh, it's not your typical, can happen everywhere. Like, right. You know, like it could happen in a flat right now that we've been living. We just don't know this like secret thing.
Yeah. I mean, we don't have a secret. We do have a loft, but we don't have a secret basement.
That we haven't proper
yeah, we digging. Have. We've put
what about if there's like writings or pentagons, like, you know, like sacrifice stuff? We don't know. Ask your dad. He was there. I wasn't.
You have been up there.
Yeah, but no examining everything. Anyway, but yeah, like that's what I mean. Like it's just like a regular place that you will go, like an office. Imagine like a horror story in an office that is so modern and it's like things happen here and you don't know.
It will become a midnight, late night screening favorite, I think.
Oh, it's
really
good.
It'll get re-screened over the next 10, 15, 20 years. People will go, audiences will go, horror fans will go to watch. Oh, Barbarian's coming back at this film festival. They're playing it at midnight
an anniversary
or whatever.
Or something. Yeah.
People will go, it's that kind of film.
Yes, it is really good.
Very good. Second favourite of the year. Up next, for Scare Introducing, I don't really know what comes out in November. The Menu is the only thing I think that comes out in November here. which looks great. The Anya Taylor-Joy movie.
Yeah.
That comes out in November. I don't know what else comes out in November. There must be other stuff.
Yeah.
But who knows? Follow us on Instagram and Twitter and we'll tweet about it when we think about it. Thank you for listening. Gracias por escucharnos.
Y hasta la próxima.